Today's gospel story starts with rejection. Have you been rejected lately? If so, you're in good company. We learn that Jesus is no hometown hero. His fame has been spreading across the Judean countryside. Large crowds following him wherever he goes. They follow him by foot. They follow him by boat. People are shouting, and you can imagine some of the shouts of Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Some of them getting very excited about this enterprise that Jesus might be bringing. And maybe they're thinking, we're going to be the early adopters here on this crush the empire enterprise of Jesus. And then he comes back to his hometown, Nazareth. Probably a town in the first century of about 300 people. So he's amongst friends, family. We read that Jesus' brothers and sisters are there. Ponder that. Jesus had sisters. And yet there are no cheers. Instead, suspicion and disbelief. Who does this guy think he is? Hotshot healer roaming from town to town? For someone who's got no education, how did he get so wise? And then the final zinger. Isn't he just Mary's son? Around here, nobody even knows his father's name. Yikes. I hope your hometown stories are a little warmer than Jesus's, because it feels downright mean what's happening to Jesus in Nazareth. Jesus, of course, has his own counter zing, shall we call it, a phrase that for 2,000 years has carried weight and lament for hometown heroes who get booed in their hometown. He says, prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown. And as we may know, the Gospel of Mark is a gospel mingled with suffering, so maybe we're not totally surprised at this chilly Nazarene homecoming. Yet Jesus does not sulk. He's on the move, and no naysaying or finger-wagging crowd is going to thwart his mission. Instead, he invites others to join him to this weird and strange life of followership. He leaves Nazareth and their unbelieving hearts in the dust, and he ventures into the surrounding villages. He invites 12 disciples to do work alongside him. And they will become the inner circle of Jesus' friends, companions on the way, going forth with bold but also simple orders. Go. And go two by two so that you can protect, support, and encourage one another. And trust me, you'll be taken care of. So travel light. Yes, of course, take a walking stick and wear your sandals, but you won't need a second layer because you will find hospitality at night. And maybe even a psalm was quoted, "The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night." And we read in today's story that they went. They trusted in God. They trusted in the words and authority of Jesus, and they pushed back the powers of chaos and evil spirits. They anointed with oil everyone who needed healing and who was longing for wholeness. On a hot summer day, where we are probably, too, not in need of a second layer, I've got good news for us. We are in a church that is doing what the story tells us to do. And I'm not saying that in a braggy way of, oh, look at us, we're so awesome. But I do want to say that there's 1,001 ways that the Church of North America can get distracted, either by the agendas of the age or issues of culture or fears of the great blank that's going to take away our freedoms, our privileges, and our rights. And we here at First Edmonton are trying to follow this model of the early church. We are seeking to put into practice the essentials of being what I would call a fledgling but earnest community of faith. Our efforts and our intentions being marked by two directives: believe and go. And we are a church that, again, is invited to believe in God, to believe in Jesus, to believe that Jesus is alive, on the loose, as we sometimes say. And then we gather in this space with this people, and whether you're here or online, this is a community of faith that is learning again to believe in Jesus and believing that God continues to draw us in to God's self, because God lives in community and God longs to work amongst a community. So a question we might ponder today is, what does believing in a living, on the move Jesus mean for us? If we want to be a people who are not filled with unbelief, but are filled with belief, what does a living Jesus mean for us today? Just give you 10 seconds to ponder that. If Jesus is alive, what is he up to in my life, in the life of this body of faith? And maybe you'll have a story that you can share with someone at coffee time of, yeah, I really feel like Jesus is moving and speaking in my life. And that might be a way to encourage someone else to ponder how Jesus, this living God, is moving in their life. Because I hope our answers are filled with hope. And I hope you find this to be a place and a people where voices and circumstances don't distract you from the heart and the voice and the message of Jesus. Because as we embrace that message, then Jesus says, go. Go and share that message. We often talk about it here at First Baptist as a journey inward and a journey outward. We journey inward with Jesus and cultivate and reaffirm our belief in Jesus. But then our journey outward is to go. To go and trust and believe that Jesus is with us. Last week we talked about the promise of Jesus saying, if I am with you, there is nothing to be afraid of. You may remember these circles that we shared and talked about. If I am with you, there is nothing to be afraid of. That promise is echoed in this week's story of going on that outward journey. Traveling simple, trusting God, expecting hospitality. Let's think about the places where we will go this week. And what can we bring as a people who call themselves believers in Jesus? Verse 13, of course, gives us our what shall we do journey outward marching orders. Push back the darkness, anoint with oil, heal and mend the world. Push back the darkness. And maybe carry oil with you this week. And heal and mend the world. I was thinking about how the past 3 Sundays of worship have really woven themselves nicely together. On June 30th, we had a healing service where we acknowledged that we need healing wherever we're at in the journey. And because of that healing presence of Jesus, then we can go and heal and mend the world. Last Sunday, as I said, was Nothing to Fear Sunday. And then this Sunday is Believe and Go Sunday. So think about the places where you will go this week. The spaces, the rooms where you will enter, where there may be darkness and chaos. And how might you bring a word of love, forgiveness, kindness, or compassion? The phrase, the affirmation words that Dawn is teaching the children are good for us. I forgive as I can, and my heart is filled with light. How might we enter rooms where there's darkness and chaos and dark spirits and bring light and hope and healing? Even in the wake of yesterday's drama in America, that country so unsettled, and of course our neighbor, how do we enter conversations this week that build peace and hope and kindness and forgiveness in a world that is so divided? We will enter spaces where there will be sickness and suffering this week. And how might we bring a word of healing, a word of hope, a word of compassion? Like I said, we might want to carry oil with us this week so that we might say to a friend or a stranger or I was thinking even creation, a tree or a rock or a stone, and put the sign of the cross on them and say, Lord Jesus, bring your healing to this person, to this place, to this space. This week I went out to our cornerstone of our church and I anointed it with oil because I thought, let's put this into practice. Oh Lord, may this place be a place of healing, sanctuary, wholeness, as we bear good news to all of creation. So I'll say we're a unique church because we have time and we have space. We have what I would say freedom from calamity. And we have time and space to believe in Jesus and to go forth and to go. I want you to hold up your order of service. I mean, you don't need to wave it around, but and the closing words of our service, right after the congregational amen, every week it says, the service of the church into the world begins again this week. That's a phrase that we ought to be reminded of time and time again. This church has the opportunity each day and each week to bear Christ into the world. We do that together. We're not alone. The living Christ is with us. I want you to ponder a place that you will enter this week and pray that the Lord will prepare the way for you to push back darkness, to turn swords into plowshares, to bring a word of peace, forgiveness, tenderness, compassion, and care. Think of that place. Lord Jesus, prepare the way for us. And because of our time in this space, in this hour of worship, might we again feel shored up and prayed up to believe and go in the name of Jesus.